So let's talk rhinos, let's talk poaching, let's talk South Africa, and apparently the situation is pretty dire. We are home to the largest population of rhinos in the world, but the rhinos are under threat, I think, in ways that most of us can't even conceive. To that end, I'm going to be chatting to Raymond Kramer. He's the founder and trustee of the Guardian Angel Wildlife and Marine Trust. And yeah, thank you for talking to me this afternoon, Raymond.
My pleasure, Simon. Thank you very much.
So let's start at the beginning. Let's talk rhinos. Let's talk South Africa. Why is there such a problem, and why this issue with poaching?
Well, I think there's a combination of reasons. First of all, we've got the situation in Mozambique on the eastern border of the Kruger Park. You've got crime syndicates. You've got the value of the rhino horn, which is worth more than cocaine, $60,000 approximately, you know, per kilogram. So you've got poverty. You've got hunger, and you've got temptation. So it's a combination of a lot of factors, and the demand for rhino horn in the east.
What are they doing with the rhino horn? I mean, is it those crazy stories about aphrodisiacs? Is it true, or is that made up?
Well, unfortunately, I was at I was very lucky to be invited yesterday to Dinner King Game Reserve, where a transmitter was inserted into a rhino horn, which lasts for about 2 years. But you know, at the end of the day, let me just get back. What was your question again? Sorry, I just went off the mark there for 1 second.
I was interested.
Just let me get to the question mark.
It was just to give some context as to why all this poaching is happening. Who's doing what with the horn, and why on earth is it a commodity that's more expensive than cocaine?
Well, the belief in the East is that it's there for curing of cancer, various ailments, used as an aphrodisiac. Mm. You've also got a belief nowadays where the young and the rich in Asia, in Vietnam and in other countries, mix it and use it as a party drug. It's an esteemed type of thing to have rhino horn. And as I mentioned yesterday, I saw the drilling. It's purely keratin. That's all it is. Once they inserted the transmitter, it's just made of keratin, which is the same protein that makes up human hair and fingernails. But it's a deep-set thing in the minds of certain people, and it's got this huge value, and that is the problem. And you've got so many people in the world, let's use the word, hundreds of millions of people that demand this particular commodity for their own various reasons and beliefs. So, it's very simple. That's why you've got for the rhino horn here.
What kind of population of rhinos do we currently have in South Africa, and kind of quantify the threat to us, to those numbers?
Well, look, I've got, I'm not sure the exact quantity right now, but around about in 2019, we had about 427 to 586 black rhinos in the Kruger Park. We had white rhinos. We had estimated, the rhino populations. We had white rhinos of about up to 5,000. But I don't know the real numbers nowadays because, there could be underreporting of the poaching that's taking place. So sadly, I'm not sure of the exact numbers that we've got left in the country. I don't have that number in front of me as we speak right now.
Let's talk about the aspect of crime syndicates. Are these local South African syndicates? Are they international syndicates? And what effect do these syndicates have on communities in the area as well?
Well, of course, the international syndicates are very sophisticated. They work with the local syndicates. You've got also the guys involved in drugs, you've got the guys involved in abalone poaching. It's all connected. And at the end of the day, this is a huge international syndication of criminals who are all involved in not only the rhino smuggling but of many other items from South Africa and wildlife to plants and succulents and you name it. So yeah, with unfortunately, that is the current situation. The demand is very, very high. The values are very high. And, you know, the let's put it this way, the reward versus the punishment, that, you know, people take a chance. And obviously, you know, they sort of, you know, this is where we are at the moment. So it's very, very important that we have very strong penalties. But I'll let you ask the questions.
I'm very happy with you talking to me. You're preempting pretty much most of them, I've got to tell you. The other question that I did have for you, though, is, is this a battle that is lost? Or is this, are you hopeful?
You know, I believe at the end of the day that if we just look at the statistics of what's happened over the last 100 years and the very rapid decline, and we look at what's really left. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned because at the end of the day, you know, when you've got tremendous poverty, if we take the Kruger Park as an example, With every effort, you know, even in South Africa this year, in the first quarter, we lost approximately 130 to 150 rhinos reported with all the measures that we are taking. So you know, I see over the next 10 years, unless we do something drastic, as you can see, where we've come from to where we are today, the numbers have gone down exponentially. So that is why... in our organization called Guardian Angel Wildlife and Marine Trust, we took two routes. Yeah. You know, there's thousands of well-meaning organizations out there and each one doing wonderful things. But we don't call it the Rhino Trust or the Pangolin Trust because, you know, it's Guardian Angel Wildlife and Marine. So the bottom line is that we believe that we need to take two angles. One is the cooperation and enabling of law enforcement. Yeah. We need incredibly strong law enforcement, and that the people need to get very heavy penalties and they need to get caught before the actions take place. The other side is if we don't educate our population to love the environment and to understand the value, and the majority of South Africans will never see a lion in a park, will never see a rhino in reality. So how do you expect them to place any value on that? You know, they see the tail light of a Mercedes-Benz driving into the Kruger Park. So what we are doing is we're trying to educate the youth. We started with Alexandria Township. We had probably the biggest ever event on Mandela Day in Alexandria Township because, you know, conservation starts on our doorstep right here. And we've got Alexandria right next to Sandton City, and we've got 1 to 3 million people. So those people spread the message. And we're working with all the schools to educate the youngsters. So without the education, without the job creation, without the law enforcement and strict law enforcement, I'm sorry to say, with all the technology in the world, the rhinos will still, and a lot of our wildlife, will still go into decline. So you need a combination, you need a holistic combination of technologies, the people, community involvement, and so forth. And I just want to mention that we didn't start, it was an environmental day that we had in Alex, but we started with a very simple message. Keep Kasi clean. Don't litter. That was our simple message. Stop littering. So you know, we have a bunch of youth in the country that don't have any role models. They look at criminality, and it's very simple to follow. See the guy that's driving a big BMW. How does he make his money? You know, whatever it might be, drugs, alcohol, whatever. So we need to change the worldview of our youth. And that's how we're starting. And that's what we need to put a lot of emphasis on. And the education. Absolutely vital.
Raymond, thank you for your time this afternoon. We're going to leave it there. Education and education of the youth primarily seems to be the trick to solving, or at least making some headway in making a dent in this particular problem. Raymond Cromer, the Guardian Angel Wildlife and Marine Trust, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.